We've been studying about our God these past couple of months now, and different things that we ought to know about God. And I hope that they've been a reminder to you. You probably have already known these qualities, these attributes, these things about God. But I do hope that they've been maybe an enhancement, maybe a point of launching out into more knowledge of these subjects and topics. Maybe just kind of shined up some of the things that you've already gleaned in your time in the faith. Whatever the case, I hope that it has been a blessing and a benefit to you. Last week, we talked about the omnipotence of God, all-powerful, almighty God. And that, of course, is a wonderful thing to talk about and to discuss. Tonight, we're going to move on today is the 2nd of November. So about almost a month ago, we talked about the God of knowledge and how God is the God of knowledge. And we talked about different things about the knowledge of God and about man's knowledge and about how we ought to work on gaining knowledge from God, not from man, etc., etc. And it was on a more of a topical point on the actual knowledge, that God was a God of knowledge. So knowledge being the object of the preposition there, if you will. So you like that English insertion there. It's wonderful. So we were talking about knowledge in that respect. Tonight, we're going to focus on that God is omniscient. Okay, the omniscience of God. And that just simply means having a universal knowledge or a knowledge of all things or an infinite knowledge. That's what God is. His knowledge is unbounded. All right, it's limitless. And that means that God knows everything. Okay? So that's what we're going to be, that's the more of the idea of tonight. So that kind of makes it a little different than the message that we talked about, God being the God of knowledge. He is also omniscient. He is limitless, unbounded in his knowledge. And so we're going to focus on that. So if you can turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 11, I probably should have told you that to start with so you could find your place. Romans chapter 11, and I'm going to read out loud verses 25 through 36. You can follow along silently if you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you're physically able. Romans chapter 11, these verses you've heard before, you probably know them somewhat. But we're going to look at verses 25 through 36, and then of course we'll pray and continue on with the message this evening. I'll read out loud, you follow along silently. Beginning in verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, and that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things. to whom be glory forever. Amen. So as we look at this quality, if you will, or this idea of God, when we talk about God being omnipotent, all-powerful, okay, He has all power. There is none more powerful than God, all right? And then we talk about now God being omniscient, or having this universal knowledge or knowledge of all things. And this is the quality of knowing, and it even says in the dictionary, knowing all things at once. Think about that. Right? Knowing everything at one time. I mean, that's what God is. And here's one of the things that we have to remember. God is not bound by the same limitations that we are. He is not bound by time. God exists. Period. You say, when? Yeah, there never was a time where He didn't exist. So God is not bound. We are bound by time. For most of us, multitasking is kind of a fake thing. It's not real. You know, I mean, people say they can multitask, but that means that they just do a lot of jobs not so well. Right? I mean, yeah, there you go. See, yeah, just be the plotter, you know, knock this thing out. That's a lot better than trying to dabble in seven or eight things and never finishing any of them, you know. That's how most of us work on that one. But, so the thing is, it kind of sounds like some of my conversations I have from time to time. that's how, we have a word for that. I keep forgetting the word, but Brother Losey. Yes, that word, that gesaltery, I like that. That's wonderful. Gesundheit. But this is God. God in His knowledge is unbounded. It's infinite. He knows everything all at once. And we've got to understand that this is what God is. This is not what God tries to be, like a multitasker. You know, He didn't try to handle all these. This is what God does this. This is God. Okay? God is omniscient. He knows all things, and He's always known all things. I love to say this. It's kind of fun. It's not original with me, but I do like it. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has occurred to God? Yeah. Because we always go, oh, well, that's interesting. Or, oh, I never knew that. Those things have never come out of God's mouth or entered into God's mind. Okay? That's who our God is. And He is omniscient. He knows all things. He has, if you will, knows them all at once. And so we think of things bound by time, bound by our finiteness, where He is unbound and infinite in His power and His knowledge. Now, I know that that's difficult for us to grasp, because we don't have any other example of that other than God. And we don't have any first-hand examples of that or first-hand knowledge of this only by what we read and know about from the Scriptures of who and what God is. So we have a hard time understanding this. So if you think about it, as we look at the Scriptures tonight, there are some things that I'm going to mention that we may not fully be able to grasp. But we have to, by faith, accept that this is what God has ordained. This is what God has instituted. This is what God is, and this is what God is doing. Because He is God, and we're not. He's omniscient, and we're not. Okay? I've said over and over again, and I'll continue to say it, I do not believe that man, in our finite case, abilities, and where we are, could ever exhaust the knowledge of this book. This is God's word. So guess what? He knows all of it. It's His word. Okay, This didn't come by the will of man. It was by the will of God that we have the Word of God. So this is God's Word. He knows it. And it's no problem for Him to know all the knowledge of this book. But it is a problem for us. Because we are not omniscient. And if there is anybody that claims to be omniscient, I'd like to meet them. And tell them how wrong they are. Now, this is what we're talking about and learning about God. In His omniscience, His all-knowing state, all-knowledgeable state. And this is our God. So we have to understand that God knows everything. So think about this. All of mankind that ever has been, that now is, or will be, God has known them. Or I should say, God knows them. I probably should say it in the present tense because to God, it's right now. You say, Adam, right now. The people in the days of Christ, right now. The people that are to be born in the future, right now. Do you understand that God is not bound by these things? He knows all. So we have to understand that, think about this, the millions and billions of people that have been on the face of this earth, or will be in number, God knows all about them. And all about us. And all about our ancestors and such and so forth. And think about this even further. He knows all about our sin. Oh, He knows about Adam's sin. Oh, yeah, that Adam, that Eve, they really blew it. Well, they did. But that was just the beginning. And think of all the sin that has gone on from the time of Adam through now, through the time that is to come. That's a lot. That's a lot for God to know about. Now, I don't have time again tonight. I think that's probably going to be my most common phrase as a preacher. I don't have time. Now, to go through all these different things. Remember, just a few. Remember when Adam, God knew, right? He wasn't asking Adam where he was because he didn't know where he was or what had taken place. God knew what had taken place. Remember when God came down and met with Abram and was talking with him, and he was talking amongst himself. Should we let Abram know about this, that we're going to do this thing? What did God already know? All the sin that had come up before his ears. All the things that had been happening in Sodom and Gomorrah and how he's going to destroy them. You understand? God knows these things. In the book of Revelation, it tells us that these things are written down. All the works of mankind are written down. God knows about your sin. You know what? God knows about my sin. He knows the sin that I've already committed from the time I was born until the time that I'm 45 years old. It's November, 1 month and like 12 days, 13 days, something like that. You know, God knows. And He knows what sins I'm going to commit tomorrow, and the next day, the next week, and the next year, or however long I get to spend on this earth. God knows about our sin. He knows about your sin. He knows about all the sins of all mankind. Job said in Job 14, verse 16, "For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin?" In Job 26, verses 1 through 6, it says, "But Job answered and said, How hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee? Dead things are formed from under the waters, and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering." God says everything, Job says everything's open to God. Everything's uncovered. Everything's known to him. Job 31, in verses 1 through 6, Job says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways, and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. God knows. Did God know Job's integrity? Yeah. Hey, old devil, hast thou considered my servant Job? Not like him on the earth. Righteous. Fears God. Eschews evil. God knew about Job. He knew about his life. He knew about everything. David says in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Why would he say that? Because he knew they were being recorded. You know, there was a record of his life. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything. You know, we have a problem by thinking that God is bound by the same things that we're bound with. And we get off all by ourselves and all on our lonesome, or maybe alone in our thoughts, and we think that even God is not a part of those things. But he knows all of them. God sees in the dark. He sees when you're all alone. God knows everything about us. He is omniscient, all-knowing. In Jeremiah 2:22, it says, For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap. What does this mean? We're cleaning it all up, right? Trying to cleanse everything. He says, even though you do this, God says to the people of Israel, they, that is their iniquity, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. You know, to God, it's like that black light that you turn on and shows all the imperfections and things that you think soap and water has cleaned up. Yes, I like to watch crime shows sometimes. You know, they get the little light out and they're, whoa, look, there's blood. Oh, look, it's not there. Oh, there, not there, not there. That's what God does. He sees it. No matter what we try to do. In Ezekiel chapter 11, it says, moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the east gate of the Lord's house, which looketh eastward, and behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jaazaniah, the son of Azur, Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, the princes of the people. Then said he unto me, son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, it is not near, let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we will be the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel. For I know the things that come into your mind, Every one of them. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. And you know what? That should bother you. And that should bother me. But here's the thing. We've deceived ourselves into thinking that God doesn't know. Or that God doesn't care. Or that God, with his other attributes of long-suffering and mercy and grace, is not bothered by our sin. But he is. And it should bother us. But yet, it doesn't seem to very much most of the time. We just kind of carry on with life. Now listen, I'm not saying that you should, you know, be whipping yourself and be beaten down all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about an acknowledgement of the omniscience of God. We ought to be able to come boldly before his throne. He's told us to. And he says, hey, look, confess your sins. And I'll be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's God's doing. But most of the time we just carry on as if he doesn't even know. And he does. So we must be aware of the omniscience of God and his knowledge of our sin. And it ought to be, as David said, it's before me. And again, like I said, we need to confess it and be done with it, forsake it, right? But and then move on in joy and in abundance and happiness with the Lord. That's what God wants for us. Okay, so I'm not saying to regurgitate everything that you've already confessed and brought up. I'm just talking about the stuff that we haven't dealt with. We need to deal with it. Now, John says in 1 John 3, verses 18 to 21, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And that's how we ought to live. With a pure conscience and confidence toward God. Now, the second thing I want to highlight about God's omniscience is not only his knowledge of our sin, but his knowledge of our ways, our tendencies, the manner of speaking of mankind. You know what? God knows mankind better than mankind knows mankind. Yeah. He knows what our tendencies are. He knows the things that we do, the ways that we go. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Did you notice there that it says, blessed is the man that walketh not, right? Nor standeth in the way, nor sitteth in the seat. So God knows the tendencies of mankind. Because man is what? Finite, but we are cursed. Which kind of men are blessed? The ones that don't go the natural way of mankind. Those are the blessed ones. The ones that choose the ways of God over the ways of man. Because if we walk in the way of the ungodly, and we stand in the way of sinners, and we sit in the seat of the scornful, what does that make us? Man. That's what it makes us. And guess what? We're going to be cursed. Because man is cursed because of sin. You understand that if we want to be blessed, we can't walk in our own ways. Can't do it. He goes on and says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he, that's the blessed man, shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. It says, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What does the Lord know? He knows our ways. And he knows if our ways are going to be righteous or ungodly. He knows if they're going to be the natural ways of mankind or if they're going to be the unnatural ways of God. Did you know that the things in the ways of God do not come naturally to us? They're spiritual. They're not natural. They're not carnal. They're spiritual. They're of the Spirit of God. And what are we supposed to walk in? The Spirit, not the flesh. God knows the ways of man better than man knows the ways of man. In Proverbs 21, in the first 8 verses, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. An high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of every one that is hasty only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is vanity, tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. You see the comparison and contrast of the natural way and God's way. We need to make sure we are walking in God's way, not our own ways. In Job 28, Job said in verses 23 through 25, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. What does God see? He sees the whole map. What do we see? We just see one path at a time. And maybe not even the whole path, just parts of it right, that are right in front of our faces. So who are we going to trust? Anybody remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, for he shall direct your path. Let him be the director and guide. That's why I often tell you, those people that have this bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot, are idiots. So after church, go scrape your bumper sticker off your car. No, God's the pilot, folks, not the co-pilot. God and his knowledge of our ways is infinite. It's unbounded. We must acknowledge that and know that my ways are not in myself. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. Because I'm going to choose the wrong path. That's what's built into me. And I need something different. Now, in Proverbs 16, Solomon says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. God knows all these paths and all these plans. Now, let me move on to one last thing. His knowledge of sin is something we need to take account of. His knowledge of our ways is something we need to take account of. And we need to also take account that God in His omniscience, His knowledge is infinite. Okay? Now, we've already mentioned that in so many different ways, but let me put it to you this way. We believe in something that people, I don't know how to say this, they criticize us about this. And when I say us, I mean us as Baptists. We talk about how the Scriptures say that God knows us, and He knows each one of us if we're going to be saved or we're going to remain lost. God knows that. And there are words like elect and foreknowledge and predestinate and all these different words in Scriptures that are used for these things. There are lots of different things out there that churches have brought about in this teaching and that teaching, this doctrine and that doctrine. And they try to say, well, because God knows all this, we don't need to go soul winning. And they even say, well, because God did this, God chose that you were going to go to heaven, and He chose that you were not going to go to heaven. Okay? They twist those English words to mean those things. And that is what I want to kind of highlight here in this last point tonight. That none of those things are true. It's only true that God has always known what's going to happen. There has never been a time that He has not known who was going to accept Christ and who was not. Who was going to choose to trust in Jesus Christ and who was not. That's all that those words mean. Because that's the kind of God. See, the thing is they want to limit God in His knowledge. And they want to make God out for something that He's not. Think about this. If God says, whosoever will may come. Okay? And then you say, well, but He's already chosen that you were going to and you were not going to. Then He's a liar. Because you can't say, whosoever will, but you can't because I already chose that you won't. And you can't because I chose that you will. You can't say whosoever then. You can't have your cake and eat it too, right? You can't have both the ways. You can't do that. So either God is a whosoever God or He's not. He's some maniacal being that chooses some of His creation that He likes and some of His creation that He doesn't like. And these are going to get to enjoy the rewards of heaven, and these are going to have to endure the punishment of hell. Is that the kind of God you really want to believe in? I don't. I like the whosoever God better. All those things that are saying is simply that God already knew. He's always known who is going to and who is not going to. That's all these terms mean. So whenever you see predestinated and elect and all these, it doesn't mean that God chose one or the other. And it certainly doesn't mean that we don't need to go and tell them. Because guess what God knew? God knew that I would trust Christ as Savior and that I would be faithful to follow the book when it says go and preach, and that you would hear and accept Christ because of the words I spoke from the truth of the Word of God. He knew that was going to take place. That means that I should go and knock on doors. Because God knew that I would be obedient to do that, and you would be obedient to trust Christ for forgiveness of your sins and a home in heaven. You see, it's that easy. You see, how is it that easy? Because I just understand the omniscience of God. I understand what that word means and how it applies to my God. Just a few verses, and I know I'm over time already. Again, I think I need to just remove all the clocks from this building and make you put your phones in a box at the door or something like that. Then none of us will know how long I've been here. Psalm 147 says this, praise ye the Lord,
For it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. It's infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, but he casteth the wicked down to the ground. If you take your Bibles, we'll end up here tonight. Ephesians 1. As you turn there, I want to read to you 1 Peter chapter 1 in the first 5 verses. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That does not signify that God was standing there in the annals of time choosing who he wanted on his team. I pick you, don't want you, I want you, don't want you. No, that's not what that means. He just knew who was going to and who wasn't. He knew. Foreknowledge. Are you there in Ephesians 1? We'll stop here tonight with this thought. Look at verse 3. Blessed, Paul says again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, listen to this. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You said, oh, Pastor, you said God didn't choose. Yeah, but he chooses that all should come to repentance. Right? That's God's choice. But not all of us are going to choose him. And he knew that in his foreknowledge. Now it says here that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having, here's that word again, predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So who has he predestinated? All of us. But not all of us have chosen him. Remember, we love him because he first loved us. And because God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, doesn't mean that all are going to come to repentance. And God already knew that. Paul continues. He says, predestinate us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I've already rehearsed that to you. His will is for all to be saved. Now, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. You see that? It's after believing. After what? After hearing. According to what? His will. This is what God has done for us in his foreknowledge, in his omniscience for mankind. Now you can go on and keep reading there in Ephesians. It's a great explanation of the knowledge of God, the unbounded, limitless knowledge of God. Don't let these other religions and people try to trick you into thinking of some other doctrine is truth. God is omniscient. And that's what makes these things possible. And that's really what these words mean. These things like elect and predestinated and foreknowledge and all this, it has to do with the omniscience of God. He does presently now know everything. And nothing has ever occurred to him. That's what we need to believe. And we believe it by faith through the Word of God.